He has risen. He is risen indeed. This is the hope of the believer, the hope of glory that awaits everyone who by faith has received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Savior from sin, because that's why He died on the cross, the just one for the unjust, all of us, that is. We are the unjust ones. And He rose on the third day to demonstrate not only that He has victory over death, He has victory over the grave, but also that He can promise to us what He has already said He would, which is eternal life. That is, He can fulfill what He has promised to us, that one day we will also rise from the dead, even though we die. That's what He mentioned in John 11 to Martha. But in Luke chapter 24, we have five evidences which testify that Jesus has risen from the dead. Five evidences which testify that Jesus has risen from the dead. But before we look briefly at these five evidences which prove to us that Jesus rose from the dead, here's a question to wake us up, if I want to say that. If you were in the place of the Lord, and if you had to rise from the dead, just imagine for a moment, of course it's a silly proposition, but for the sake of the argument, it will make us maybe giggle, that's okay. If you were to rise from the dead in the place of Jesus, after all that you've experienced just a few days earlier, how would you have reacted? What would you have done? Just think about it. What happened to Jesus the previous few days before He was crucified? Think about the Jews. Think about the Romans, how they mistreated Him, the wrongful kind of trial that He had to undergo, and of course the treatment, the beatings, the scourgings, the mockings, the spittings on His face, and then of course the excruciating crucifixion, all that He had to go through. But how about the disciples, His own followers? How about the 11? Because Judas, he was the one who betrayed them, not a believer, of course, but the rest were believers. And Peter, you know what he did. For a season, he denied the Lord three times. So if you were in the Lord's place, what would you have done? Maybe if I was in the Lord's place, I would have gone back to the disciples after having risen from the dead. I would have rebuked them, maybe slapped Peter. What did you do? You know, kind of a thing. But this is not our Lord. It could be me doing that. It could be you doing that. But this is not our Lord. And in Luke chapter 24, of course, the same goes to the other gospel narratives about the resurrection meetings that the Lord had with His own, with His followers. In Luke chapter 24, at least, we see what He does as He not only demonstrates that He has risen from the dead, but in so doing, there is a purpose. And the purpose is He wants to build up their faith in preparation of the work ahead, right? He wants to build up their faith. The resurrection of Christ meant for the believers, and by the way, no unbelievers saw Him. If you have never contemplated on this, there was no unbeliever who ever saw Him risen from the dead. For 40 days, He demonstrated Himself alive with many infallible proofs, says in Acts 1. And then, of course, we read in 1 Corinthians 15 how the Lord revealed Himself to a number of the apostles, His disciples, followers, 500 of them at one given time. And Paul the apostle says, of whom many were still alive at the time 1 Corinthians was written. Basically, that testifies that what he's saying, if anybody disagrees, can come forward and say, no, that's not true. Because there's still most of these ones, the 500 mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, who were still alive, says Paul. So that's proof. But here in Luke 24, what are the evidences which prove to us that Jesus has risen from the dead. There's five of them. Five of them. We'll consider these. Look at the initial section of chapter 24, verse 1. Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, that's Sunday, of course, first day of the week, they came to the tomb, this is the women, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Of course, when they came with the spices which they had prepared, they did not expect to find a risen Christ. They did not expect to find a risen Christ. That's why they brought these spices in order to take care of the Lord's body with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, because they expected to see his body there, but it wasn't. He has risen. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, these are angels, by the way, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's the living one. That's one of his titles. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Hence the title of our message. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Jesus had a number of times mentioned about his upcoming resurrection, of how he would be mistreated by the Jews, put to death, and then, of course, he would rise from the dead. And these two angels reminded the ladies, saying that the Son of Man, according to the word of Christ, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. That is, to the immediate apostles, the 11 apostles, and the rest of the believers who were there at the time. Now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. You see, this evidence is that even the apostles, they didn't understand initially the words of Jesus that he was supposed to rise from the dead. And they basically thought what the ladies were saying were complete nonsense, and they would not believe them, says in verse 11. This also evidences not just the reaction of the women, because they came bringing the spices so that they will take care of the body of Lord Jesus. But then when the word was taken to the apostles, they didn't believe them. They didn't believe the ladies. They thought the things they were saying were complete nonsense. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. We know from John 20, the Apostle John also goes there. Peter alone is mentioned here, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. The linen wrappings, as we know, were properly laid there. If anyone would have stolen the body of Christ, the linen wrappings wouldn't have been there, because when you have to steal something from the Roman Empire at the penalty of death because you have just broken the seal on the tomb, the Roman seal, which was punishable, to break it was punishable by death. You know, the disciples wouldn't have been able to steal the body and then have the time to remove the wrappings nicely and lay it aside, as we know from one of the other Gospels. But no, all these are evidences that Jesus' body had risen from the dead. Up till now, we've seen two evidences which testify that Jesus has risen from the dead. Number one, the empty tomb. The empty tomb testifies that Jesus has risen. The empty tomb testifies that Jesus has risen. The ladies saw that. Peter went and saw himself as well. Elsewhere, John did the same. And then you have the word of the angels, the message, the testimony of the angels. They witnessed that Jesus has risen from the dead. You got the women who have heard these two angels that Jesus is not there. And the angels, these two men, they look like men, of course. Angels always had human form when they interacted with people as such. Unless, of course, it's a special revelation directly with special angelic appearance. But this was not like that. They came as humans. They seemed as humans. The empty tomb, the testimony of the two angels saying that, remember how we spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. They testified also that Jesus had risen. The empty tomb also testified that Jesus had risen. Then you have the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, starting from verse 13. How these two men, they were walking, and Jesus, in verse 15, approached them and began traveling with them. But verse 16 says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And of course, that was the Lord's doing. And Jesus asked the question. Not that he didn't know the answer. It's just to trigger a discussion. Verse 17. What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. They were sad because of the things that had gone, because of the things that had transpired just a couple of days earlier. And that's exactly what they will say. They will say, are you, verse 18, the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? He's just pretending that he doesn't know because he wants to draw out the discussion from their own hearts and minds. And then, of course, they told what happened to Jesus, verse 20, that they crucified him. And he is right there in front of them. But their eyes can't see that. By his sovereign ability, he has put a veil before their very eyes so that at the right time, as we shall see, he will reveal himself to them. But here, look what the Lord does. First, in verse 21, it says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And this is one of the two. In verse 18, his name is Cleopas. We have his name only from the two. He says, and we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. But Cleopas, don't you know that he has already brought redemption to Israel? But he doesn't know that yet. He doesn't know that yet. Can't blame him. Can't blame him. And then he says, some of the women also came. They told us about the empty tomb. And then in verse 25, Jesus says to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe. He's not mocking them. He's not saying anything bad to them. That is, you know, wake up. Slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary, you know, you simple-minded, you know, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And then he does this. He reminds them of the scriptures. It says in verse 27, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. That is, all the prophetic words from the Old Testament, which spoke about the death and the resurrection, glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. The empty tomb testifies that Jesus has risen from the dead. The word of the angels testify that Jesus has risen from the dead. And here, the Lord's explanation, number three, the Lord's explanation of the scriptures concerning himself as to what was going to happen to him testify that he has risen from the dead, because the scriptures are the testimony, the proof that yes, he is not in the grave anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He has risen from the dead. So you have the empty tomb, the testimony of the angels, and also the Lord's own explanation of the scriptures concerning himself, of what was going to happen to him. These testify that he has risen. You see, it is so important to our faith to go back to the scriptures of the Old Testament and to the very ones that Jesus spoke about, so that our faith may be strengthened in what he has said that would happen to him. That's why he does this. That's why he does this. It is so important not just to see the empty tomb, but to consider what the scriptures has said about what was going to happen to him regarding his death and resurrection. That's why we make so much of the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing is through the word of God or the word of Christ. So we need that. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus does not tell them of anything else, but he explains the scriptures. He lets the word of God speak to the hearts and minds of these two men. Dear men to him, definitely. It says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And then, as they approached the village, they asked him to stay with them. And then eventually he agreed. It says at the end of verse 29, he went in to stay with them. And as he reclined at the table, he took the bread and blessed it. Verse 30, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then it says, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. He's gone. Job done. They know now that he is alive. He has risen. And then, of course, once you get that wonderful news that Jesus is alive, you can't just keep silent. You can't stay quiet. What do? They said to one another, verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? That's what the word of God does to us, right? The word of the Lord speaks to us. It burns in our hearts with hope, with joy, with glory. That's why we need to read the word of God, even the testimony of the word of God concerning Christ, about his death and resurrection. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? He's expositing the scriptures. That's what will create faith in people about his death and resurrection. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't do any miraculous sign right there. All he does is to explain the scriptures, because God will use, the Holy Spirit will use the scriptures to create faith in you and in me regarding his death and his resurrection. But you need to be in the word so that faith you will be able to have as you respond to it. By his grace. You need that. So they got up, verse 33. They went to Jerusalem. They found the 11, the apostles. And they said, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. At this time already, the Lord had appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. That was the manner the Lord chose to reveal himself. The Lord's explanation of the scriptures concerning himself testifies that Jesus has risen. This tells you, this tells me, that it is so important to be in the scriptures, to read the scriptures, so that you will clearly see who Christ is and what he has done, without which you will never be able to understand why he had to die, why he had to rise from the dead. And then, we have a fourth evidence which testified that Jesus has risen from the dead. And it is in the way it is seen, it is found in the way he discloses himself to his followers as being alive. In the way he shows himself that he is alive. Because now it's not only about the scriptures, he will give tangible, physical evidence as well that he is alive. In verse 36, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst. Just suddenly, he appeared in their midst. He said to them, peace be to you. They were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet, touch me. It is I myself, touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Of course, the marks of the crucifixion, the marks of the nails that he had to bear on the cross. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, okay, now you've touched me, you've seen my marks, the nails, now bring me something to eat. A spirit won't do that. A human being will do that. So he eats. Have you anything here to eat? He asks them. They gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. So this is another evidence, his self-disclosure, his self-revelation to his disciples, to his followers, that he was alive, testifies that Jesus has risen from the dead. The empty tomb, the testimony of the angels, the Lord's own explanation of the scriptures concerning himself, that he had to die and rise from the dead, and also his own self-disclosure to his disciples that he is alive physically. He's there. And there's a fifth evidence in this text in Luke 24, which proves to us, which testifies that Jesus has risen from the dead. And it is found in his promise of sending the Holy Spirit following his ascension. The fifth evidence which testifies that Jesus has risen from the dead is found in the Lord's own promise of sending the Holy Spirit following his ascension. Remember, after his resurrection, he was on earth still with his followers for 40 days. He said, wait for the promised Holy Spirit. I'm going to go. I'm going to send him. He will be with you forever. He will be in my place. In my place, like for like. 10 days after, on the 50th day, on the day of Pentecost, of course, the Holy Spirit officially comes to abide in his people. Every believer who has come to Christ by faith has the living Holy Spirit of God in her or in him. So it says in verse 44, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Again, he speaks to them the scriptures, because all the evidences about him being alive are not enough. That is, the physical evidences. They must understand the scriptures clearly. If you understand the Old Testament scriptures, that tells me that God is omniscient. He knows exactly what he's doing. His plan has succeeded. We can believe in this Christ. That's what it means. This is the implication of having come to understand and know the scriptures about Christ's death and resurrection. And then it says in verse 45, and of course, we're never alone when it comes to trying to understand the scriptures. When you and I open the scriptures up to read what the Word of God is saying, even regarding the matter of the death and the resurrection of Christ, we will never be alone. The Lord said, his word said here in verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's what he does with every one of us when we open the scriptures, when we're serious about it. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. This is your task. I'm commissioning you to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all the nations, starting with Jerusalem. And you're the witnesses. You're the ones to carry this message everywhere. And then the fifth evidence is the sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, and behold, verse 49, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, the Holy Spirit. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And Acts chapter 1, of course, testifies to this truth, that the Holy Spirit comes and they are clothed with power from on high. And as, you know, he said these things, it says he lifted up his hands, blessed them. As he was blessing them, verse 51, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, he's God in human flesh. That's why they can worship him. He receives worship. They return to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. The fifth evidence which testified that Jesus has risen from the dead is the promise, the Lord's own promise of sending the Holy Spirit after his ascension. If Jesus had not died for our sins, if Jesus had not risen from the grave in order to justify us from our sins, he would not have been able also to send the Holy Spirit. Because if he wouldn't go, if he's not alive, if he's not glorified again at the right-hand side of the Father, the Holy Spirit cannot come. You see, the promise of the Holy Spirit has to depend on the resurrection of Christ. And the reason we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and the reason you know that whenever you and I sin, there is someone in us, not something, someone in us who works through us and in us in order to convict us so that we may turn away from our sins, it's the Holy Spirit. He is the one who works to draw us to Christ. He is the one who tells us whenever we have sinned, we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn to Christ. We need to believe in him. That could have only happened because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, you and I would not have had living in us forever the promised Holy Spirit. The reason we know Jesus is alive is because we have the Holy Spirit. If he had not risen from the dead, we would not have him living in us. He who works in us, he who draws us to him, he who convicts us of sin, he who does everything to make us more like Christ, it's the Holy Spirit's presence. But his presence would not have been materialized apart from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in review, five evidences which testify that Jesus has risen from the dead: the empty tomb, number one. Number two, the testimony of the angels. Number three, the Lord's own explanation of the scriptures concerning himself. And then number four, his own self-disclosure to his followers as being alive. And then number five, his promise of sending the Holy Spirit following his departure from earth. All these are evidences that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. May we live, celebrate this day in such a way that we demonstrate that truly Jesus is alive, because he is. Amen.